parenting monitoring of what adolescents are doing in the house when they are not in, as well as environment. We see that some environments are more exposed to alcohol, even though we have a restriction in terms of selling alcohol to underage 21 kids. I send my son, just for as example, I send my son to Winn-Dixie. There is a store in a liquor store, and I ask him, you know what? Go inside and ask and see if they will sell you, and they sold him. So, yeah.
One more question, please.
And I just want to comment. I mean, it seems like these, like the kids that are at super high risk, the very young kids that are engaging in alcohol abuse early, are perhaps of two types, right? The thrill-seeking kids, mm-hmm. innate thrill-seekers, right? And then perhaps those that are very depressive or in other ways inclined. And, you know, I wonder if this might be a jumping-off point. Well, we know that this is this early initiation is predictive of all these things, right? But for suicidal ideation, I mean, those are going to be more depressive kids, that's about a fact. And for thrill seeking, they might be a little bit different. So we might be talking about two different paths into this. Mm-hmm. I just want to comment on that. I mean, we know a lot now, don't we? We can kind of begin to move out into other directions for mechanisms.
Yeah, I think that we start to learn more and more. I'm not sure how much we know, because the more we know, I think the more we know that we don't know,
right,
like we used to treat the underage 21 drinkers as one group, and now we see that it's divided, it's not one group, there is some differences between underage drinking. So I think that we need to learn more.
Rephrasing my point.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much. We're going to have to continue. There'll be time at the end for more questions and comments. Our next presenter is Rangika Fernando, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. She is with the Center for Health Promotion and Prevention Research, University of Texas Health Sciences. Please.
Everyone. So my name is Rangika Fernando, and I'm from the University of Texas Health Science Center, Houston School of Public Health. And I'm going to be talking about, I actually did my thesis on does parental monitoring influence the use of alcohol and drugs among inner city seventh grade students? And I have no relationships to disclose. So just to begin, some background. I know we've heard the YRBSS a lot today, but according to the YRBSS, in 2007, 75% of alcohol use or of students in high schools used alcohol. And I also used Monitoring the Future, which is a maybe younger age group. In eighth graders, 38.9% reported lifetime alcohol use in eighth grade. So, and some of the short-term consequences of alcohol use are traffic injuries and fatalities due to drunk driving, family and peer conflict, school performance. Long-term consequences of alcohol use are poor long-term school attainment, poor health, and substance use problems later on in life. And those are just a few. And with drug use, according to YRBSS, 38.1% had lifetime marijuana use in 2007. And Monitoring the Future, which is, I used eighth grade data, 19% used drugs in their life. And then 14.2% reported that they used marijuana in their life. So consequences of drug use are aggressive behavior, violence, lower likelihood of adolescent attending or completing college, psychological problems as adults, social isolation, and lack of social support. And those are just a few also. So what is parental monitoring? Well, one of the definitions is that parental monitoring is parents' behavior of supervision and control with a sense of being able to keep track of the behavior of the child from a distance. And there are a couple of theories that I put forth more in detail in my paper, but two of the theories that I'll describe today, one of them is mediation theories of substance use, and it states that poor family relations and poor parenting can lead to adolescents that lack social skills, and then it also leads to adolescent association with more deviant social group. And then this is stemmed from the social control theory, which I'll discuss in the next slide. And adolescents that are less deviant due to social or cultural constraints on their attitudes and behaviors. And the second theory, the social control theory, states that normal behavior is a deviant behavior. So we need to discover what drives the adolescent to conform and to go against their impulse. The closeness the adolescent feels towards their parents and the attitudes that parents hold against risk behaviors determine whether the adolescent will act on the impulse or not. And this is where parental monitoring is really important because when children are watched, they seem to conform to parents' views because they know that parents are supervising them, their activities and friends closely. So in general, parental monitoring mediates between drug use and peer relations, and if a child is monitored poorly by the parent, then they're more likely to use drugs, and then these adolescents are more likely to seek out deviant peers like themselves. And then the highly monitored adolescents, non-drug users, are less likely to encounter risky situations, so they're able to delay their drug use and substance use. Poorly monitored adolescents confront many risky situations that make it hard for them to restrain themselves from drug use, and it also increases their chance of drug and substance use. So why is this study important? There are only a few studies that focus on parental monitoring and adolescent substance use dealing with this early adolescent, predominantly African-American and Hispanic population, and it expands the body of knowledge. And the study allows for an understanding of what aspects of parental monitoring are most beneficial. So this also will help develop more effective parental monitoring prevention programs. The methods that we used, this was a cross-sectional study of seventh graders, and this is a secondary data analysis to a longitudinal study. We were in 10 middle schools, and we used computer-assisted surveys, and we used descriptive and multinomial regressions analysis to examine the association between parental monitoring and substance use. And we used, our sample size was 541 students. So this is just a summary of the parental monitoring variables. We had five variables, and two were just single item questions. And then we had two scaled parental monitoring variables, which combined questions together to make a scale. And then the last two, as you can see, were gender-based, so we combined those to make one item. And we had a multinomial dependent variable. It was alcohol and drug use was collapsed into three mutually exclusive categories of lifetime use data. And the first category was the reference group, which were students who reported no drug or alcohol use. The moderate risk group were students who had only ever used alcohol and never used drugs. And then the high risk group were those that had used both alcohol and drugs, or those that had used drugs but not alcohol. And then this did not include those that only used alcohol because these are mutually exclusive categories. And then in the multivariate analysis, we adjusted for sociodemographic variables that showed significance of P less than 0.2. Okay, the results. So the slide kind of summarizes the parental monitoring variables, the prevalence of alcohol and drug use by sociodemographic characteristics. And this shows that 40% of our sample were male, 60% was female, 40% were African American, and 44% Hispanic. And most of our age group was 13 to 14-year-olds. And 42% lived both with both biological parents, and 32% lived with one parent only. And what I'd like to point out was that 47.9% of our sample reported alcohol use in their lifetime, which is about 10% more than the national average of eighth graders. And then 14.9% reported drug use in their lifetime, which is about 4% less than the national average. One that's really interesting is 47.5% reported marijuana use in their lifetime, which is about more than 30% higher than the national average. So there were significant differences by the races in lifetime drug use and binge drinking. There was significant differences by age in lifetime drug use and lifetime alcohol use. So all of the odds ratios when adjusted, examining the association between alcohol and substance use and parental monitoring, controlling for sociodemographic variables, were significant for all the parental monitoring variables in the risk group. The biggest significance was perceived parental monitoring knowledge, where students were 62% less likely to use alcohol with perceived parental monitoring knowledge, and 76% less likely to use both alcohol and drugs, or drugs only. So when all the five parental monitoring variables were entered into a final single model, together with the sociodemographic covariates, only perceived parental monitoring knowledge was significantly associated for the moderate risk group. For the high risk group, three variables were significantly protective. So perceived parental monitoring, greater supervision in public places, and less time spent with older teens. So just to summarize, almost half the participants of study sample reported lifetime alcohol use, 14.9% reported lifetime drug use, and 47.5% reported lifetime marijuana use. The results indicate an association between parental monitoring and decreased adolescent drug and alcohol use. Also, this provides evidence that certain types of parental monitoring may play a more important role in the child's use of drugs and alcohol. There were some limitations. This is a cross-sectional component of a longitudinal study, so more longitudinal analysis is required to confirm the association between parental monitoring and delayed drug use. Also, assessing the direction of causality for parental monitoring must be made with caution. There's definitely an association, but more longitudinal analysis is required to confirm this link in identifying causality. The future studies could benefit from a larger sample size, and self-reported data may be subject to reporting bias, but the use of computer-assisted surveys have been shown to increase honesty in reporting. And our recommendations... in-school interventions on drug and alcohol use prevention may benefit from an inclusion of a parental component. Parent and child seminars could be beneficial, and parents should be more aware of child's activities. Future studies on parental monitoring should include more detailed parental monitoring measures and sample a greater sample size through a long period of time. Studies including a curriculum on substance use prevention should measure effects over time and have a parental component. In conclusion, this study extends findings to an early adolescent, multi-ethnic, low-income inner-city population. Different types of parental monitoring affects drug and alcohol use behaviors to differing degrees. And adolescents' perceived parental monitoring knowledge have the greatest influence, and adolescents using drugs and alcohol could benefit from increased parental monitoring. And also, for policy implications, I think we should include possible funding for an education policy that makes it possible for parents to receive free parenting classes through their child's community or school or church. And current substance use prevention programs should have a parental monitoring component, and these programs should receive more funding. And I just want to say thank you. And also, I want to thank my thesis advisor, Dr. Christine Markham, who's also my second author and my mentor. So.
question? Two questions.
I just want to know what perceived parental monitoring knowledge is.
Yeah, very good question. It's it's whether your child perceives that you're monitoring them. So if your child knows that that you're asking the questions of where are you going, and they know that you're kind of observing them and watching them and stuff. So that's their perception.
Not just watching your kids, but making sure your kids know that they're being watched.
Yes, and more so that if your parents, even if you're not watching your kids, just your kids knowing that you're calling or you're kind of monitoring them, even if they think that, then it's a good effect. So, you had another question. Okay, so there was parental monitoring in like public places, like the mall, and going out to like the movies and things, and then hanging with older teens. So less time spent with